So you turn in your Bibles to Psalm 86. This morning's message is entitled Morning and Evening Prayer. I've often wondered about the saints in the Old Testament, Abraham and Isaac, Elijah, Nehemiah, Daniel. Imagine what it was like to maybe sit out in the field. Maybe for King David, overlooking the balcony and seeing in the distance the pasture land and the sheep, and yet very close up seeing the city and seeing the people, recognizing that not too far away there was a system in place so that people could come and worship. What we have here in a building and a time, we have a place where we can come and worship together. That's something that we do together. But throughout the week, there is these private times. Times where you get a chance to sit down with the Lord and to look into His Word and to meditate upon it. And you may say, well, I wonder where I'm going to start, because I don't necessarily want to do my scheduled Bible reading right now. I just want to focus, and I just want to talk with the Lord, and I want to allow His Word to saturate my soul with His love for me. Summer season is a very good time where we can get away and get some rest and relaxation. We can spend time with our families out on the beach, and you might have to travel a ways, but a time where you could just sort of bask in the love of being a family, and yet there you could be so busy that you would lose sight of the time and why it is that you have all these blessings. During the summer, it seems that people get so actively involved in their work, they can do more work because it's warm and the days are longer. And if you're not careful, you'll work, 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 and you'll forget to pray, pray, and pray. Psalm 86. That's the prayer of David. I wonder if many of the New Testament saints didn't turn to this psalm. Hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am devoted to you. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. In a day of my trouble, I will call to you, for you will answer me. Beautiful psalm. You could just stop there on a Sunday morning, maybe around 5:30 when the birds are starting to chirp. They maybe woke you up because the window was open and everybody else was sleeping. You said, I won't roll over this morning. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go and sit out and listen. And I'm going to open the Word of God and I'm going to meditate upon His goodness. That's what I would encourage you to do. Let's go back to Psalm 4, or Psalm 5, in fact. Some years ago, Charles Haddon Spurgeon wrote a devotional book entitled Morning and Evening, and I have a copy here. It's pretty old. It's tattered. I got it at MCC for 25 cents. I used to have a copy of it years ago, and I gave it to somebody. Some of you have heard of Oswald Chambers' book, My Utmost for His Highest, right? I've had that book, and I've gone through it. Charles Haddon Spurgeon's desire was that the believer would have some kind of a daily guide to reading and prayer, meditation. It's been a resource that is still used a lot today. Probably to go down to MCC on any given day, maybe find yourself a 25-cent copy. I actually have it on my computer program, my Bible program, and so I can use it there. And many such resources are helpful. The Old Testament saints, of course, and likewise the New Testament saints, would turn to the Psalms as their daily guide to prayer and meditation, and Psalm 86 would have been one of those Psalms. Psalm 4 that Keith read to us this morning is often referred to as an evening prayer. Not really sure who wrote it. It's attributed to David. It's attributed to David during a time, quite possibly, when he was being chased from his palace by Absalom, one of his sons. And in the midst of that, he may have lamented these words. So it's an evening prayer of lament, Psalm 4. Psalm 5, on the other hand, is a morning prayer. We're going to be looking at that in a moment. As I think of the summer and I think of you and the busyness of life and the summertime with your families and so on, I just want you to realize that I continue to pray for you. One of my responsibilities as a shepherd is to think of you, pray for you. I do so in a systematic way through our prayer calendar, but oftentimes I pray for you apart from that calendar. Sometimes I'll hear a prayer through the prayer chain that's a request as a result of a crisis or a time of urgency in your life. Many of you I pray for during the week simply as a matter of fact because you've come to mind. Maybe we met together and had coffee. Those of you that I meet with more often, you can assume that I pray for you more often because I do. For those of you that I don't meet with as often as I would like, I don't forget you. In fact, when I do pray for you, I sometimes will latch on to something that is happening in your life that maybe you've not reported to me on over a matter of time, over a period of time. Sometimes I'll hear something. Someone will say something. We had a visit with so-and-so, and did you know that they're going through a difficult time, or they would appreciate prayer for this? And I'll remember that. I don't do it because I'm a pastor. I do it because I love you. I don't do it because it's part of the job. I do it because it's the responsibility of every believer to pray for others. And so all of this being said, this kind of prayer is prayer that we're very familiar with. It's referred to as intercessory prayer, where I pray for someone else. And we recognize that for us to be intentional in that, we actually have to think about one another. And it's work. It actually takes work to think of others. You say, well, I'm thinking about people all the time. But are you praying for them? That's another matter. My purpose this morning is not to focus on intercessory prayer, but simply to begin the day in prayer, to close the day in prayer. And so not only do I have a responsibility to pray for you as a flock, but one of the delights that I get to have, and I get to do it every day, and so do you, is that I look forward to basking in the love of God. The music this morning, as far as I'm concerned, was just so beautifully done. The special music just allowed me to focus that much more on the marvelous grace of God. But frankly, I don't need the music. That's not to take away from what I just said, because I'm not really that artistic, and Renee could tell you that I don't play music as much as I used to anymore. Not because I don't like music, but I actually like quiet. I like solitude. Maybe it's the aging process. I don't know. Maybe it's a sign of me getting older. But I could very easily just sit out on the front porch and look at the birds and hear them chirping and fighting with each other over one grain of food. And not too long after that, my gaze is beyond that, and I reflect upon God's daily provision, not only for the birds, but for me and for each of us. And so I look forward to basking in the love of God and to pray in an occasion when I can simply focus on Him. And I believe you and I need to take time to do that. And so I need to focus on my God. I need to focus on my friend. I need to focus on my Redeemer. And so unless you give some serious thought in terms of the necessity to pray, you probably won't pray. You probably won't pray except by virtue of duty or as a result of some crises. I remembered Vitaly and Elaine this morning as they are conspicuously noted as absent here today. We've enjoyed fellowship with them. Earlier in the week, we received an email from June Fernandez asking for prayer for his son. For his brother, pardon me, Victor's son, Zion. These things will happen all the time. They're reminders that we love people. But we need to see the importance of prayer apart from crisis, apart from loneliness, apart from partings. E.M. Bounds wrote a book entitled The Necessity of Prayer. This is what he writes. He writes a story about a friend of his who loved to hunt. And so he told E.M. Bounds this story. Rising early one morning, I heard the baying of a score of deerhounds in pursuit of their quarry. Deerhounds are dogs or wild dogs that are chasing deer. And looking away to a broad open field in front of me, I saw a young fawn making its way across and giving signs, moreover, that its race was almost over. Coming to a fence and reaching the rails of that enclosure, the fawn leaped and over and crouched within 10 feet from where I stood. A moment later, two of those hounds came over the fence, and when the fawn ran in my direction, came and hid in between my legs. Could hardly believe what I was seeing. I lifted the little thing to my breast and swinging around to fight off the dogs, I felt just then that all the dogs in the West could not and should not capture that fawn after its weakness had appealed to my strength. So it is when human helplessness appeals to the Almighty. Well do I remember when the hounds of sin were after my soul until at last I ran into the arms of Almighty God. As I read that, I've remembered the many times and the many days that I remember that I'm a sinner that in prayer I can turn to my God and I can pray to Him, knowing full well that although He knows all about me, He loves me and cares for me. And so let's give some thought to the concept of prayer. How would you define it? Some might answer, well, it's communion. Prayer is communion. No. Another one would say, no, prayer is confession. Oh, I read in the Psalms that it's complaining. Some people seem to be skilled at prayers of complaint. No, all I like to do is praise and give thanks. Prayer is a communicating of our heart to God who cares about us because He created us in His image. 1994, HarperCollins published the Book of Prayers. It was noted as a treasury of prayers through the ages. The book is really just a collection of recorded prayers. It includes the prayers of obscure Christians of the early church, as well as recognized saints like Francis of Assisi. Prayers of Mother Teresa are included. Prayers of believers, of other religions. This collection was probably intended to provide inspiration for the spiritually minded, and I want you to understand that our world is enamored with spirituality. It gets great joy in thinking that it's spiritual, and it takes spirituality from wherever. The Bible knows nothing of that. But in this book, what seems to be strange is that none of the prayers of the Bible personalities are included. No prayer is mentioned with reference to the prayers of the Lord Jesus. And if anyone is an authority on prayer, we know that it is the Lord. Lord Jesus lived His human life immersed in prayer. Lord Jesus taught about prayer, and we read that this morning in Luke 11. The recorded prayers of Jesus provide deep insight into the nature of prayer. And the Lord Jesus promised that prayer addressed to His Father in His name would surely be answered. So I kept doing research on prayer, and I came across Wilmington's Book of Lists. In there, he notes 44 petitions, 13 prayers in thanksgiving, 9 prayers of complaint. He lists 17 reasons for prayer, 8 qualifications for prayer, 11 hindrances to prayer, and 8 things to pray for. The listing's quite helpful, but my focus today is not that we would note all the different ways in which we can analyze prayer, but rather that we would simply take the time to pray. I noted as I came into the Adult Bible Fellowship this morning, I looked around the room, and I looked at people and I said, they're a tired lot. They had way too much fun this week. I don't know what happened in your week. Maybe it wasn't that way at all. But it's hard to focus on prayer when we're tired. Taking time to pray, we do so simply because we need to. And so the purpose of giving a prayer or expressing prayer, whether it's intercessory, confession, praise, is all for the very reasons is that we depend upon God. And so I could quote all kinds of statistics as to how little people pray. I could confess my own sense of ineffectiveness and lament how I don't spend the amount of time that I would like to or I might expect as a shepherd. However, that would undermine the very lesson that I'm seeking to share with you today. And what is that lesson? Just pray. Just pray. What do I pray about? Just pray. Psalm 5. Let's turn there. These two psalms that we've mentioned are simply illustrative ways in which we could pray. They each have unique historical backgrounds behind them. They're not meant for you to go to Psalm 4 or Psalm 5 and say, I'm going to memorize these prayers so I can repeat them as my pattern for prayer. No, that's not the idea. The Lord Jesus gave us a pattern for prayer in Luke 11. When I say we read it, it's because Renee and I read it this morning, Luke 11. I began to realize when I said we read it, you might have understood we all read it, and no, that's not true. Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. You're not a God who takes pleasure in evil. With you, the wicked cannot dwell. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies, bloodthirsty and deceitful men. The Lord abhors. But I, by your great mercy, will come into your house in reverence. I will bow down toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. Because of my enemies, make straight your path before me. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with destruction. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongue they speak deceit. Declare them guilty, O God. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Psalm 5. One commentator has said that the reality of life on earth frustrates the full joy of the godly. Isn't that true? The reality of life on earth frustrates the full joy of the godly. It goes on to say that fears swell up in our hearts as we contemplate the harshness of life. One day you receive a phone call, and in that phone call you hear disturbing news. You wonder how you can overcome. This psalm is full of encouragement to those who suffer adversity and is appropriately called a morning prayer. The prayer leads the worshiper of God into his presence and to a deep realization of God's kingship over life's circumstances. Prayer. What is prayer in the morning? Why would you pray in the morning? Okay, we're going to take a survey. Be careful. How many of you prayed this morning? If you're in church, you know we all prayed this morning. But did you pray this morning? Apart from the busyness of life, before you got out of bed, did you pray? Did you say, thank you, Lord, for the day? Did you thank the Lord for your mate? Preparation. What should I prepare for in any given day? Well, I should be prepared for the fact that I'm going to be dependent on God, first of all. And chances are I'm going to be dependent upon a whole bunch of people. But Lord, may I be a dependent person. Now, it's true that there are some very dependent people, VDPs. They're people with needs that we can't fulfill, but still they're people that need to be heard. They're people that need to be loved. I want you to realize that each of us here is a dependent person. And so my morning prayer is an expression of my dependence. The psalmist goes on to express some praise, and so morning prayer needs to be one of praise, thanking God for who He is. It also expresses trust, trusting God for His guidance. Lead me. It's an expression and confession that I need to be led. Morning prayer is directed to God in worship. It's remembering God's faithfulness to protect and bless those whom we love. Mom and Dad, it's essential for us as parents to teach our children to pray in the morning. I can't get them out of bed. What are you talking about? When they were 4, they were up at 6. When they're 12, they want to sleep till 10. Nathan, is that true? Mm-hmm. My mother never let me get away with that. She would sometimes wake me up at 4 just to have fun, I think. It's essential for us as parents to teach our children to pray. But that needs to be modeled. That means you as parents have an obligation to get up together and to pray together. Well, my work schedule doesn't accommodate for that. Well, then you better work around your work schedule. Yeah, but you don't seem to understand. Listen, I worked 3 shifts. We found time to pray. Try to do it and model it. Then teach them. Teach them by having them hear you pray. And then encourage them to pray. You see, you as parents are shepherds of your family, just as I'm a shepherd of the flock. God wants you as parents to walk together by faith. For you young married couples, start doing that together before you have kids. Make it a pattern for your marriage. And so as you begin with Psalm 5 as a starting point in teaching your children, do so in such a way that they understand that the focus first thing in the morning is dependence upon God. Turn back to Psalm 4, an evening prayer. One commentator writes, prayer is a form of communication in which the child of God casts himself on the mercy of God. 4 imperatives. Answer me. Give me relief. Be merciful and hear my prayer. All in verse 1. You can tell that the psalmist at this point is saying, at the close of the day, I am in a desperate situation. All too often, when it comes to the close of the day, we simply want to relax and rest. I know I like to do it. It's very natural. But all too often, what happens is that we carry the events of the day. Things eat at us, and we're disturbed. And we find ourselves restless, filled with concerns and sometimes fears. Rather than turn to God, we wrestle throughout the night. It's unfortunate that we didn't pray about those things throughout the day. That conversation I had with so-and-so didn't go as well. Lord, I should have prayed about that earlier. Should have gone to you. You may have well have witnessed how God had answered that concern, and you would have been able to rest with a clear conscience. Again, it's important and it's necessary that we close the day in prayer. A time of prayer at night should be one of thanksgiving, as how the Lord delivered you throughout the day with the many challenges that you faced. It's a time where we're reassured as you read the psalm of God's watchful care over your lives and over those we love. It's a time where we renew our trust in the Lord. And it's there that we acknowledge again that maybe I failed in depending upon you, but I acknowledge again that I do depend upon you. And I depend upon you for the needed rest for my body and for my mind so that I can wake up refreshed. And so prayer is more than intercessory. It's more than praying about the needs of others. And you may want to come before God as you stand before Him and say, I was a prayer warrior. I prayed for every prayer chain that came through. I'm sorry, that's not going to cut it. God's going to say, when did you pray to me? When did you worship me? When did you tell me that you needed me? When did you cry to me in mercy? When did you ask me for forgiveness when you were thinking about everybody else's need? God wants you to take time to stop and to enjoy the relationship. Prayer is relational dependence upon God, the one who created us in his image. And so may you and I model a life of prayer, beginning our days in anticipation of the Lord's protection and care, and then closing our days with thanksgiving and resting in his watchful eye over us. May you teach your children how to pray, and may we humbly express our prayers daily in his presence. Psalm 4, let's read. Answer me when I call to you. O my righteous God, give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. How long, O man, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. In your anger, do not sin. When you're on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than their grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. During the summer, would you just take that time? You have a little more time. So I didn't think I had any more time, but sometimes you do. You have time to have a little more recreation. If you go camping, sit outside that tent or camper or whatever it is that you're using to sleep in, to look out at the stars at night. Don't be afraid to see a sunrise. It's not going to shock you. It's actually one of the glorious, marvelous expressions of God's love for us. May the Lord bless you. Shall we pray? Would you pray, Father, today for wisdom for us as parents, that as we read your word, that we would be refreshed, that we would take those times in the morning and the evening to express our dependence upon you and our gratitude for the way that you watched over us. I pray for each boy and girl here today, each young person, that they too would take personal responsibility for their relationship with you. That there wouldn't be a child here that says that they're just too young to pray, but rather they might understand that you hear them, that you hear their prayers and answer their prayers. May we as parents, Lord, ask you for wisdom daily and thank you for the wisdom that you do give us. May we praise you for who you are and for the way that you love us and provide for us. And may we walk in faith and display the kind of prayer life that will help others to be dependent upon you. Commit the remainder of our day together. In Jesus' name, amen.